Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Film and Mr. Movie. This show we review Moneyball. And now here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film.
Hello, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie. And today's movie is Moneyball, based loosely on a true story and released by Sony's Columbia Pictures. It stars Brad Pitt and is about how one man pioneered a new method for assembling a professional baseball team and changed how the game is played forever.
There are rich teams and there are poor teams. And then there's us.
We're not New York. Fine players with the money that we do have.
You guys are talking the same old nonsense. We got to think differently.
Your goal shouldn't be to buy players. Your goal should be to buy wins. And in order to buy wins, you need to buy runs.
Who are you?
I'm Peter Brand.
First job in baseball?
It's my first job anywhere.
We're going to shake things up. Why don't you walk me through the board?
I believe there's a championship team that we could afford because everyone else undervalues them, like an island of misfit toys.
We want you at first base.
I've only ever played catcher.
It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him, Wash.
It's incredibly hard.
He can't throw.
But what can he do?
You want me to speak?
We're not pointing you yet.
He gets on base.
We are card counters at the blackjack table. We're going to turn the odds on the casino.
Billy Beane has tried to reinvent a system that's been working for years. It was a nice theory, just not working out.
In their minds, it's threatening the game. It's threatening the way that they do things.
You're discounting what scouts have done for 150 years?
What the hell am I doing?
What is happening in Oakland?
It defies everything we know about baseball.
Just plain crazy!
If we win with this team, we'll change the game.
This better work.
Brad Pitt plays Billy Beane, a once Major League Baseball top draft pick, but whose career just didn't pan out, at least as a ball player. But fast forward to the early 2000s, and Beane is now the 40-something-year-old general manager of the Oakland A's. His biggest problem is that his team's owner only has a relatively modest budget, meaning they don't have the big bucks to recruit star players like, say, the New York Yankees do. And so the movie's most interesting premise is laid out. How do you create and assemble a winning team on such a constrained budget? When the movie bothers to answer this question, it really shines. We see Billy Beane wheeling and dealing. We see he is a power negotiator, and the best scenes are when he's trying to sell his own team on their winning strategy. And I really like that internal conflict part here of the plot. That's really the best part of the movie. Their strategy, of course, flies in the face of tradition and challenges everything everybody seems to know about baseball. The brains behind their strategy is Beane's sidekick, Peter Brand, played by Jonah Hill, and who actually underplays his typical shtick here to pretty good effect, I think. He comes up with an analytical, by-the-numbers means of evaluating players in order to create value that nobody else is seeing in them. This innovation is exciting. Beans and Brand's contrast of experience and book smarts adds to that dramatically. At times, it makes for good humor. There are some touching moments and has kind of an odd couple charm to it. Each character has something to learn from the other and grow. And if this dramatic formula sounds like the winning kind of movie you're hopefully getting excited to see now, I'll have to burst your bubble here and tell you that this is not the movie we get, Mr. Film. The script, co-written by The Social Network and West Wing scribe Aaron Sorkin, has signs of Sorkin's handiwork in parts of the dialogue, but on the whole is uneven and too slow. The entire Brad Pitt failed ballplayer backstory is uninteresting and takes us out of the real conflict that is in the here and now that we all want to see play out. These flashbacks are a snore and make the PG-13 movie needlessly long at over 2 hours and 10 minutes. But don't you think it's kind of ironic, Mr. Film, for a movie about finding undervalued players and maximizing their performance to have, as its lead, one of the most overpriced and overvalued actors in Hollywood today? Yes, I'm talking about Brad Pitt, who, well, he isn't terrible in this, but he also pulls so much focus away from telling the story here that it just gets distracting and boring at times. He's also suffering from a case of overacting-itis, and too many scenes feel like Pitt is saying, "Look at me, I'm Brad Pitt, I'm acting really good here. I'm getting angry and throwing a chair. I'm staring into the void, and that's important." It's almost as if this movie was made to be about him as an actor or acting vehicle rather than about telling this story. And that's what I think is why Pitt strikes out in the role. Now, Moneyball's theme is that winning is more than just winning a particular game, and sometimes you've won when you don't even realize it. And that's an important and interesting message, I think, but it gets muddled in needless character development and a sub-theme about playing not to lose rather than to win, which is really what this story is not about at all. So I really like this movie for what it could have been, Mr. Film, because there's so much here that could have been realized and made for a gripping, exciting, and inspiring tale. Instead, while it is edge of your seat and gripping at times, kind of like Warrior that we reviewed a couple of weeks ago, it has kind of that feel to it. It's just unfortunately very uneven. So I'm going to go with a B minus on this.
All right, Mr. Movie. I think you're on the money here. Forgive the pun. And I agree with you. I think Jonah Hill, actually, this is probably one of his best roles. Brad Pitt, uneven, but I did like him through most of the picture. I think I liked him a little bit better than you did. The girl who plays his daughter was actually quite good. But I have actually three big criticisms for this film, and they're all kind of interrelated. First of all, I'm with you. This is way too long. You say it was 2 hours and 10 minutes. It felt like it was about 2 hours and 40 minutes. It was just way too long. I mean, this thing needed a seventh inning stretch, for God's sake. It was just way, way too long, way too slow. The ending is way too long. It takes too long to get rolling. And even more fundamental than that, there's just, and this is going to sound really bizarre, there's too much baseball in this film. There's just too much baseball. And that's kind of weird, but you know, but seeing the guys win or even having anything to do with the players is really unnecessary about what this story is about. This is not about a baseball team. It's about these guys who are trying to change baseball. And it's not what they're doing on the field. It'd be kind of like with The Social Network if we watched Mark Zuckerberg coding for 10 minutes at a stretch. I mean, it's just not that interesting. And in this context, not that interesting to watch the games. Bull Durham, The Natural, Eight Men Out, some of the other great baseball pictures we've seen in the last 20 years, those were really important to have a lot of play on the field, not this picture. But the biggest, the most fundamental problem, and I think you kind of touched on this a little bit, is that it's how it approaches the whole conflict, which should have been Billy versus the coach.
Right.
Or the stats versus the art of playing, because they really make a very interesting argument at one point. They kind of touch on, and particularly at the very end, I don't want to give anything away, but that film that they watch at the end, that whole idea that you can have these stats and, you know, so-and-so always gets on, he always walks, he always gets on base, he does whatever he does. But there's that moment, that miraculous moment, that moment of art when baseball becomes art, or any sport becomes art. And they really didn't play up that whole – that's what should have been the real conflict. The coach saying you can't play by stats. It isn't art. It's about what's happening at that moment. It's about being in the zone. It's about, you know, that ineffable thing, the gods looking down on us, whatever the argument is, as opposed to Billy and the Jonah Hill character coming along saying – it's all about stats. We can play the numbers and we can win. And that would have been a much more interesting conflict than what we got here. And unfortunately, we didn't get that. The film we got is what we got. And I'm with you. It's pretty much a snore. There are a couple of good moments. I'm with you. Billy's backstory, pretty irrelevant. The stuff with the players, pretty irrelevant. It really sings when he's buying and selling players and trying to make this system work. So it's a very flawed film. I liked it a little bit better than you. I think maybe I'm being a little generous, but I'm going to give this a B.
Okay, I think that's fair enough. And I agree with you about Jonah Hill. I, you know, when watching the trailer, I was like, gosh, he just looks like he's not going to fit here. And you know what? He really does work. So I want to point that out. He really shined here. So
yeah, he really did a great job. It's a great character, too. It was a really great character for him as well. So.
Yeah. And so, there's also that that song with the daughter that's right out of Juno, which I believe hadn't even been written when this movie supposedly takes place. And I don't know why they did that, because a lot of us moviegoers are really familiar with that song, and so it just takes us out of the movie because it's so familiar from that other movie. So
yeah,
I didn't like that at all. I thought that was a real misfire. And also some of the writing is pretty uneven. You know, there's that whole point where Brad Pitt is recruiting the Jonah Hill character, and that's kind of overly drawn out and whatnot. And there could have been one scene that was really dramatic where he sort of like steals this guy from an opposing team, sort of like under their nose or something. They could have been done really well and witty. And instead, it's kind of drawn out and things are done sort of behind the scenes. And it just could have been done so much better. Like, I can just think of so many different ways to make that so much better that just was kind of disappointing, you know? So,
well, it could have fit into the theme where this guy is undervalued. I mean, that's the whole premise.
Exactly.
They use these stats to find undervalued players who are really good, but they're undervalued because they're not pretty enough. They do weird stuff, you know, whatever the case may be.
Because Jonah Hill in the movie, his character actually comes from another team, and supposedly he buys them from them, but it's not really shown how that's done. And it's a really great scene where Brad Pitt is noticing that people are listening to this guy, but you know, it's this guy's first job, as we hear in the trailer.
Yeah.
You know, he's right out of college and whatnot. So like that's sort of that first inkling of finding undervalued players. And it's interesting that the biggest undervalued player is not even somebody on the field. So,
exactly.
You know, that could have been really great, but that whole part was just kind of drawn out and not really written very dramatically. So,
yeah. It felt really a very naturalistic sort of approach, which is really interesting because Aaron Sorkin really, in particular, I suspect, I'd be interested to do a little research, probably we should do a little research on this, but I suspect that Aaron Sorkin, the fact that he's the second name on that,
yeah.
I suspect that he wrote a first draft, and then Steve Zaillian, who's also a good screenwriter, he took over for the rewrite. So I suspect that's probably what happened. But what's interesting, because like in The Social Network, Sorkin really tried to avoid a lot of that naturalistic stuff by trying to find that underlying universal theme, you know, that
right.
kind of Greek tragedy sort of aspect to the story, and which helped it transcend being just like a docudrama. And they didn't quite make it. So I think that – I suspect that's what happened, or this needed at least a couple more rewrites and they just didn't have the time to do that. So it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. I think we there's a real seed of a great film here. We just didn't get it.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I agree. One other minor point I want to make is, why is this PG-13? I mean, I saw so many dads bringing their sons to the theaters to see this that I think if they had cleaned up the dialogue, not that it's bad that there's bad language or whatnot, but, you know, it could have been PG and they could have cut the psychological self-defeating crap from the Brad Pitt character. And this would have been a really great father-son, you know, movie-going kind of experience. It would have been an A movie, and it would have, I think, performed better and held up better at the box office. So,
I think so.
You know, it's really kind of a shame that they didn't do that. And I think it seems to me like it's all in the name of, well, this is Brad Pitt here and he's an A-list actor. So we got to kind of, you know, shine him up a little bit. And I think that was really that's really a wrong move here.
I think you're right there. And I think that, you know, as we saw with Warrior, that was a really intense film.
Yeah.
The thing that I loved about Warrior that I didn't have here is that when you go in that last scene in Warrior, that last fight in Warrior, you don't know how it's going to work out, which is fantastic. I love those kind of films. I mean, that's what I love to go to a film with. I want to be completely surprised that how it's going to work out, but say, oh, of course, that's how it's going to have to work out. So we didn't get that at all here, and we're just armchair directing this picture. But unfortunately, I think that's all we could do.
Well, it's a good premise, though, which is one of those things. It's like you really wanted it to succeed. So,
yeah, absolutely.
But in the end, you know, Moneyball is just kind of money blah.
I agree.
All right.
That's our show for this week. Tune in next week. We have a new review. Please visit us at www.moviefilmshow.com. Check us out on iTunes. Please comment. Let us know what you think about the show. And feel free to email us. We always love getting emails from our listeners. And you can do that at mail@moviefilmshow.com. All right. So, see you next show, Mr. Movie.
All right. I'll see you, Mr. Film. How how do you create and assemble a winning team on such a constrained budget?
The Movie Film Show
is a winning team on such a constrained budget. When the movie bothers to answer this question, it really shines. This is not the movie we get, Mr. Film. These flashbacks are a snore.
We're just armchair directing this picture, but unfortunately, I think that's all we could do.
Pitt strikes out in the role.
Uneven.
Very uneven.
Billy versus the coach. The stats versus the art of playing.
Overacting itis.
There's too much baseball in this film.
That's really the best part of the movie.
You're on the money here.
And it's interesting that the biggest undervalued player is not even somebody on the field, so... Look at me, I'm Brad Pitt. I'm acting really good here. I'm getting angry and throwing a chair. I'm staring into the void, and that's important.